If you've got your handout, we're going to continue in our series this morning on marriage illusions. And we've been looking at things that maybe are communicated as one way or something misunderstood, but in fact is not working as it should in our relationship. And we want to understand from the Word of God what we can do to correct that so that our marriage will strengthen as a result. And so we're going to continue in that this morning with the relationship illusion. And sometimes the marriage relationship can be a challenge, and we need some help from God's Word to navigate those years. A couple sat down to eat their first meal as newlyweds that the wife had made. And as they sat down, she told her husband, she said, "Well, sweetheart, I have learned how to make meatloaf and banana pudding." And he sat down, he said, "Honey, that's great." He looked at his plate and he said, "Now, which one is which?" And sometimes you've got to navigate those things in married life, for sure. And there are challenges as you go through it, but God's Word gives the principles by which we can thrive in the marriage relationship. I'm going to talk about the relationship illusion this morning. And what is it? Well, it's the belief that my relationship with my spouse is unrelated to my relationship with God. And we're going to find out this morning that that is not true at all. In fact, the very summary of this lesson, when we conclude in a few moments, will be this. You want to be a better husband or a better wife? Be a better Christian. It's incredible how strengthening your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is going to positively affect every other relationship and part of life that you have. And we're going to be reminded of that this morning. And we believe this because we fail to understand that relationships are spiritual in nature. They're of God's design. And because of this spiritual essence, our relationships with God and with our spouse are interconnected. They're dependent upon one another. In fact, if we're going to have the marriage that God desires for us to have, it must be on the foundation of a relationship with God. If we want our relationship to be with God as it should, then our relationship with our spouse should be as it should. They're intertwined. They're dependent one upon the other. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 in your scripture this morning and launch from this passage into understanding how does my relationship with God affect my relationship with my spouse. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. The Bible says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." Verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." There is a connection between our relationship with God, our Creator, and with our spouse. And sometimes we make the assumption that our marriage maybe is not what it could be because of our spouse. And if we could just get our spouse to change, everything would be better. Sometimes we even will drag them to a class like this, and we will sit in a room like this, and we will hear a lesson like this. And secretly, privately, in our own heart and mind, we are thinking, "I really hope they are listening. I hope they get this today. Because if they listen and they get this and they make these adjustments, then we might finally be able to get on the right track." And sometimes we assume that the answer to our problems is that our spouse needs to change. But the reality is we both need to change. And we both need to change as it pertains into becoming into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We both must work at drawing closer to the Lord. I put the little illustration in your handout about the triangle, and God is at the top, and the husband's on one side, and the wife is on the other. And the reality is, as we go closer to the Lord, we grow closer one to the other. And sometimes we can look at our spouse and we can say, "Well, they need to do this or they need to do that," and maybe they do, I don't know. But the reality is we all have room for change and improvement. We all need to become more like Jesus Christ, and if we both will commit to that, as we draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, we indeed will draw closer one to the other. Gary Chapman said in his book, "No person on earth is capable of giving us the fulfillment we crave. We were built to find our completeness only in Him. Everything starts with God. He designed us to depend completely upon Him, heart, soul, mind, and strength. We will never find ultimate satisfaction except in a vital and dynamic relationship with God." Friend, if you are looking for your spouse to do in your heart what only God can do, you are going to be miserable. And you're going to be frustrated in your marriage relationship, and your focus is going to be that your spouse is failing you, when in reality, you're failing yourself because you're expecting from your spouse that which is not possible. No spouse can meet every need of another's heart. That is intended to be found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we're growing in our relationship with God, then our marriage benefits. So let's understand this relationship dynamic. How does our relationship with God improve our relationship with our spouse? Well, let's notice a few things. Number one, the foundational nature of my relationship with God. What should this relationship look like, and what should it accomplish? Dennis Rainey said, "The shortest route to a godly marriage and family is to first invest the ongoing effort and time each day in becoming a more passionate, committed, and skilled disciple of Jesus Christ." If we have a passion to be a great spouse, if we have a desire to be a great parent, then one of the greatest things we can do is draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're looking for motive this morning in the sense of wanting to be a better Christian in 2020 than we were in 2019, understand the benefit and richness that every relationship receives when we grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we grow in our relationship with God, every relationship benefits. Now, why is this? Well, letter A, because God's Word provides a foundation for living. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He concludes the Sermon on the Mount, gave the illustration of the wise man and the foolish man. He talked about how the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. He talked about how the storm came to both and the foolish man's house was destroyed, but the wise man's house stood firm. And why was that? Because the wise man built his house according to the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. The parable, the illustration is this: if you want your life, your marriage, your family to last, no matter what the world throws at it, make sure it is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure it is built on the principles of the Word of God. So if God's Word is in our lives on a daily basis, then what role should it have in our marriage? What benefit does it have? Well, a few thoughts. When we're in God's Word, as it pertains to our marriage, it defines the high value of my spouse. God challenges husbands, love. God challenges wives, reverence. He puts high value on our spouse according to His Word. God's Word corrects my behavior when necessary. There's no perfect spouse in this room. We're all in need of some behavioral adjustment. We're all in need of some improvement in some areas. You know where we learn that directly? In the Word of God. And as we study the Word of God, we see, boy, I've got some things that I need to correct. The Word of God in my marriage also provides some common ground where my wife and I can meet, where we can connect, where we can talk, where we can find some synergy to our relationship. It acts as a filter for my thoughts and my words. It teaches me wisdom and understanding. God's Word has a powerful place in my life as it pertains to my relationships. Now, as you and I have a relationship with the Word of God, as we learn through Scripture how it is we should relate to our spouse and to those in our family, when we don't relate to them this way, when we treat them contrary to the way that God would teach us in His Word, then not only are we hurting that relationship, we literally are living in disobedience to God. So we want our relationship with God to be all that it should be. We want our relationship with God's Word to be all that it should be, because as we are in God's Word, we are learning, we are growing, and our marriage and our family benefit from that process. And so we want to make sure that we're making big of the Word of God. And let me encourage you, in a week like this where you might get some time off for Thanksgiving, you might get some extra family time and so on, let me encourage you to make big of spending time in the Word of God. taking some extra time to read Scripture, getting the family around a table and reading some Scripture together and enhancing your relationship as a result. So I want my relationship with God to be what it should be because His Word helps me, let her be, because God's Spirit produces fruit in our lives. Now, notice the description of this in Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meek, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, as you read these descriptions of when we are filled with the Spirit, think about this. Would you like a spouse who is full of love, who is full of joy, who is full of peace, who has long-suffering, who is gentle, who is good, who has faith, who is meek, who is temperate in all things? Is that something that you would like to have? Of course, you say, Gabe, I would love to have that. Where does that come from? Is that a gift I can purchase for them this Christmas? Is that a counseling session we can go to? And this is the byproduct. Is that a ring that I could buy? And the thankfulness for it brings these things about. No, none of those things do that. But what does that is being filled with the Spirit of God. When you and I have a relationship with God, when Jesus Christ is alive in us, then those characteristics are the benefit. They are the proof that we are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our relationships benefit from that. And oftentimes when we're not loving like we should, or we don't have the joy that we should have, or we're unwilling to forgive, or we're not being gentle or kind, or whatever the case may be, often it is because we are not walking in the Spirit of God. So if you want to be the best spouse you can be, and I believe you do, then you want to be the best Christian you can be. The role of God's Spirit in marriage is simple. He produces love within our heart. He gives us guidance for our words and our actions. We've all have said things or done things and then thought, boy, why did I do that? I put my foot in my mouth there. I should have never have said that to her or whatever the case may be. But God guides us and gives us wisdom in those things. He enables us to live according to Christian character and to be a person of integrity. He helps us to overcome negative tendencies. And if our human nature is to kind of go down that road and talk about past problems and issues and things that have happened or whatever, God can help us not to take that path. And He gives us discernment to deal with things that are coming up. And we want to be careful that we desire to grow in our relationship with God and to let His Spirit live through us. One author said, if you're not faithful and a daily student of the Bible, and if you're not experiencing the moment-by-moment guidance of the Holy Spirit, then I guarantee that your marriage is less than it could be. So if you're here this morning and you're truly wanting your marriage to be all that it can be, then you want to prioritize a relationship with God, spending time in His Word and walking in His Spirit. So notice with me, secondly then, how my relationship with God affects my marriage. Okay, so if I prioritize this relationship with God, if I'm spending time in His Word, if I'm walking in the Spirit, if I'm faithful to hearing the preaching and teaching, what does that mean? How does that affect my marriage? Well, letter A, notice that it produces character. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that makes me right. It produces character in my life. Proverbs 4:23, keep the heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Barnett Brickner said, a great marriage is not the product of finding the right person. It's by being the right person. Listen, every one of us can look back to when our relationship originated. And we can talk about we weren't right with God. Maybe we didn't even know God at that time. Maybe we were just young and dumb. We can talk about all kinds of things that we could dismiss the beginning stages of our relationship. Can I just encourage you this morning? Don't worry about any of that. It's not about finding the right person. It's about being the right person. You have in your life today your spouse. It is God's will that that's who you finish your race with. So your focus needs to be on then how can I be the right person? How can I be a better husband or a better wife? And it really centers on growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Gary Chapman said, your emotional well-being should never depend on another person meeting your expectations. You can assume personal responsibility for your own moods, emotions, words, and actions simply by changing your beliefs. In other words, if it's all dependent upon my spouse to meet the expectations that I have and to meet the needs that I have and to anticipate whatever, It's going to be a roller coaster ride for sure. But if I have a relationship with God, and if God is helping me be who I should be, much less is dependent upon my spouse for my own behavior. In other words, I can take responsibility for me because I'm figuring it out. It's my responsibility in the first place. That helps me in the sense of in my marriage as I walk with the Lord. But letter B, this walk with God also in my marriage promotes acceptance. In Genesis 2, God gave Adam Eve, and he made her from the rib of Adam. And Adam arose and called her woman because she was taken out of man. In verse 24, we read, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God saw Adam and that he was alone and it was not good. And every married man in the room was like, amen to that. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall over Adam, and God takes a rib and God creates Eve, and God gives Eve to Adam and says, okay, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and we shall be one. Dennis Rainey in his book said, Adam had faith in God's integrity. He knew God could be trusted. Eve had never done anything to earn Adam's response. He just accepted her because God had made her for him. Friend, if you can come to the place of recognizing, listen, my spouse is who God has for me, and I'm accepting them because they're God's gift to me. I don't have to evaluate every day, do they still deserve my acceptance? Rather, I can just trust in God and then give them that acceptance freely. That's what a relationship with God will do in your marriage relationship. But let us see, it'll provide protection. In 1 Chronicles 4:10, the prayer of Jabez, as we've heard it to be called, he prays and calls on the God of Israel and saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that my hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." In Proverbs 2, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man." In Matthew 6:13, "And lead us not into temptation." In Psalms 141:9, "Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me." When I have a relationship with God, it's providing protection. One of the greatest things you can do in your relationship as husband and wife to communicate to your spouse that you want to be faithful to them and committed to them for your entire life is to have a relationship with God. Because far more than an accountability system or an internet filtering program or whatever is that you have an authentic, real walk with God. And that it is God you are seeking for His help every day, that you would live in a way that pleases and honors Him. Every wife wants a husband who every day is striving to live in a way that pleases and honors God. Every husband desires a wife who at the chief top of her list desires to please the Lord Jesus Christ in all that she says and all that she does. And when we have that kind of walk with God, our relationship benefits because it brings a layer of protection as we live in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. But letter D, it provides the right atmosphere. Our relationship with God will produce humility and gratitude. The Bible says in Psalms, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy." Gabe, how can we get joy in our home? How can we get gratitude in our home? How can we get kindness in our home? Be good Christians. Because that's what Christians do. Christians are kind. They're loving. They have the joy of the Lord, and they forgive. It's not because they're better than anybody else. It's just because Jesus is living through them. Because we all have flesh. We all get hurt. And if we allow our flesh to respond to hurt, you know what we want to do? We want to get even. We want to post something that we shouldn't post, but it would feel really good to post. We'd kind of like to have, you know, an off account that people don't know is ours just so we can post all that stuff. And let the world know about these people or this thing or how we feel or whatever. And we want that justification. But when we're walking with God, we learn very, very quickly that that's not the way you respond at all. God will take care of these things. And there's an atmosphere of acceptance and gratitude and humility and love. That's how your marriage benefits from your walk with God. Letter E, because it paves the way for forgiveness. Knowing that you and I have been forgiven enables you and I to forgive, forbearing one another in Colossians 3, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. Ruth Bell Graham said, a good marriage is the union of two forgivers. You're going to have the opportunity to forgive in marriage for sure, but walking with God enables you to do it. Dennis Rainey said, you can tell whether you have forgiven your spouse by asking yourself one simple question. Have I given up my desire to punish my mate? Am I not looking to get even? Am I willing to let it go and move on? That's when you know you have forgiven. So what enables me to forgive like I should? That real relationship with God. When you're walking with the Lord, you're able to forgive as you should. Then walking with God prepares my responses. The Bible says in Proverbs, a soft answer turneth away wrath. In Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:1, the preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. When we're walking with God, our answers, our responses to our spouse and to our children are not our own, they're God's. And sometimes when our flesh would like to respond with a louder tone of voice or a choice word or a criticism or a demeaning comment, when we've walked with the Lord, even though that's maybe our first reaction, before we can say the words, we'll stop. And the Lord will help us to respond in a way that's actually helpful and edifying to the situation. So God will help us in our relationship. So walking with God, paramount. It's foundational. And I want to make sure I'm spending time in His Word and that His Spirit has free course in me. If I walk with God, there's many, many benefits to my marriage. But can we talk thirdly before we end about how our marriage affects our relationship with God? How can our marriage actually make our relationship with God better? Man, I want a spouse who's walking with God. I want someone who desires these things. What can we do in our marriage to encourage one another spiritually? Well, letter A, we can do that by mutual encouragement and edification. The Bible says in Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. We want a relationship where we are encouraging, where we are edifying one another, where we're building one another up. It's good to talk about what we're reading in God's Word, what we're learning at church. It's good to serve the Lord together. You might sign up to help with the s'mores for our class and to just be a blessing. You might deliver a meal today to a family in need. You might be involved in many, many things and where you can be a blessing. Why? Because you're encouraging one another in your spiritual walk. A marriage can enhance a relationship with God when there is encouragement and edification in this way. But we can do that, letter B, by partnering together in prayer. The Bible says in Matthew 18, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of the Father which is in heaven. Our prayers are not hindered, Peter talks about, when our relationship and our marriage is right. So what can we do to foster a closer walk with God in our marriage? Commit to praying together. It might be in the morning. It might be in the evening. It might be whenever you can align the schedules and calendars. But committing together as husband and wife, we are going to partner together in prayer. But then letter C, you want to foster and provide an environment for becoming like Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be made into His image. And you want your relationship to be encouraging, being in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. When your spouse makes a decision to maybe be like Christ more or to go to church more or to give more, that should be met with your encouragement and your praise. There should be an atmosphere where becoming more like Christ is the expectation and the standard, where you're pushing each other and encouraging each other in this environment that Christ is the standard. We want to be like Him in our home. This is a good one, letter D, by determining to grow together. You know how your marriage can enhance your relationship with God? By determining we're going to grow together. We're not going to be the same 1 year from now that we are right now. So in our home, we're going to encourage spiritual growth. this might be. We're going to memorize the Word of God. We're going to have family devotions. We're going to serve the Lord together as a family. We're going to study this particular book over the next 12 months, whatever that may mean in your home. But there's just a desire. We don't want to be the same. We want to go forward. And so let's in our marriage have a spirit where we are encouraging growth in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're encouraging one another to go forward in our faith. Lots of things happen as a result of encouragement, do they not? It might be, you know, we're trying to lose some weight. We're trying to get in shape. We're trying to get out of debt. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. And sometimes getting on a plane and then receiving encouragement along the way really helps that goal become reality. That should be the way it is in our home when it comes to spiritual things, that there's a desire to grow together spiritually. What else could we do in our marriage to enhance our relationship with God? Letter E, by serving the Lord together as a team. Boy, one of the greatest things you can do in your marriage is serving God together. One of the greatest things you can do as a family is serving God together. Yesterday was so wonderful seeing many of our families coming out for breakfast at 9 and getting a map and getting some invites to the Christmas musical and just going out in the community and inviting people to church. And I had yesterday my son Joseph with me. He turned 10 this past week, and we had one of his buddies, and I said, guys, are you good to talk to me? And they said, oh, yeah, we got it, you know. So we leapfrogged is what we called it. And I would go to one door, and I would knock on the door, and I would say, hi, my name is Gabe, and I'm from Lancaster Baptist Church, and I just wanted to give you an invite to come out for our Christmas musical. And then I would skip a door, because that's where Joseph was going. And as I would skip that door, I would hear Joseph talking, and he would knock on the door, and he would say, hi, my name is Joseph, and this is my friend John, and we're from Lancaster Baptist Church, and we'd like to invite you to our musical. And I could hear Joseph talking about the musical, and he was talking about, man, the dramas are really good, and the after-service thing is a lot of fun, and we have a really big camel, and we get to eat s'mores. And I mean, he was just going on and on. And I learned a perfect stranger will listen to a 10-year-old a lot longer than they will listen to me. And he had, man, he had an audience. I mean, they just were, he kind of read the whole brochure, you know, and he talked about every aspect of it, and they just listened, you know, really politely, and, you know, thank you. And I was like, man, I got to take Joseph with me more often. This is great, you know. And we had a lot of fun doing that together. It's wonderful to serve the Lord together as a family. And I don't know, that might be saying, Gabe, where's a nursing home where our family could go and our kids could sing and we could just be an encouragement? Where's a place we could go be a blessing to people that many people have just forgotten about? What could we do as a couple that would help us to see how truly blessed we are and to just be a sincere encouragement to somebody else? My relationship with God is foundational. If I'm not spending time in the Word of God, and if I'm not asking the Spirit of God to live through me, then my life is going to be a summary of me. And that's not good. If I am giving me to Susanna, that's not good. She deserves better than that. She deserves a husband who's doing his best to walk with God. Because in and of myself, that's not a lot to give. But if I'm truly trying to walk with God and be a spiritual leader and bring that to the family, that's what it should be. And when I walk with God, the family benefits immensely. And in fact, my family can encourage me in my spiritual walk. And what we're really learning today is that it all is intertwined. And can I encourage you this morning as a husband or wife or a father or mother, would you make a decision today? I want to be the best Christian I can possibly be. I want to personally grow in my walk with God. It'll make every relationship you have better. And then can I encourage you about the home you're developing? Can you create a home environment where being a real, authentic, growing Christian is something of priority? It's something that's encouraged, and it's something that you're doing together. It's good to be a growing Christian. It's hard when you're the only one in the family doing it. It's much better when everybody under that house shares that same passion and is growing together. Could you imagine what 2020 could look like in your home if everyone there had a heart to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I would imagine that would be a wonderful thing. Let's make that our goal as we look ahead, and let's let our relationship with God strengthen our relationship with everyone else.